Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, everybody? It is May 7th, 2024. Flobo, Glenn,
yo.
Together again.
Hey.
Been a minute.
What's shaking?
Talk about NXT, y'all. Tonight, the Combine. I don't know why we did this when the 12 finalists are pretty much who you expected were going to be in the finals. For the
I was surprised NXT, our Ren Sinclair, but we're talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, no, she's great. I think it was fun. I get why they did it, because they want to make it seem a little more sports-like. They want to showcase the strength, athleticism. It's just the end result was not shocking. You did not look at that 12 and be like, oh my God, I can't believe so-and-so made it.
We'll get to it, but I was a little shocked that they let main roster talent on the NXT Combine for the secondary title, but that's besides the point.
I mean, barely main roster talent, the way they're booked on the main roster.
Well, hot take, but I agree. It's a mild take. It's like a banana pepper take. Like,
no,
like,
in fact,
it's spicy, but I get it.
This is great for Mia Yim. This is actually phenomenal for her. We had a little tease tonight, a black screen with snoring, because I think somebody who was just on Level Up recently is making her return to the main roster or the main NXT show. I know. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what's going on with Chase U. We're going to talk about what's going on with Tony D and the No Quarter Catch crew. Everybody's talking about the NQCC. We got all that and more, but Flobo, what's going on in the news?
We have a lot of things going on in the news, thanks to our overlords over at the brand I can't mention on air. But the first thing up is WWE NXT announcer is heading to the main roster. I guess we didn't see that happen this week. Looks like Alicia Taylor will be heading over to SmackDown, filling in permanently for Mike Rome. We love Mike Rome. It seems that it's time for a shakeup, though, with both Alicia Taylor and Samantha Irvin on the main roster as a ring announcer. This would be the first time the ring announcer corps would be two women of African American descent.
Yeah. Both awesome. And it's going to be a change at NXT. It'll be interesting to have Mike Rome back.
I like Mike Rome. But I also, here's the thing. I don't want to have anyone that's the wrong way. Cause I love Mike Rome. He's a fan, friend of a friend of a friend, loves the guy. But it did feel like he was putting extra sauce on things post Mania. I felt like after the Cody win and after Samantha Irvin got her shine, it was like Mike's on the writing on the wall. and decided to put extra things. But hey, look, NXT needs that kind of real world experience. I think everyone benefits with this trade.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good to see. But I think you're right. I think the stakes have been up, and that's got to be tough, right? I mean, it's kind of like a bit of a Larry Sanders Show behind the scenes thing. It's like you're a ring announcer, and then everybody, you wake up one day and open Twitter, and everyone would be like, "Oh my god,
oh, it's rough,"
you know? Yeah. So they're like, "I got to step up my game."
Yeah, well, you know, our broadcast colleague Jack Farmer dabbles in the ring announcing arts, and a lot of times he goes to the arena and they say, "Nah, we don't need you today, kid," or "Where are you, Jack?" It's always a fluid thing. So.
But,
it,
you know, people are competitive in broadcast. People don't know this, but when Jack Farmer joined Wrestling Inc., I said, I have to get more handsome now. Oh, I have to step it up a little bit. Before, I thought I was the eye candy of the Wrestling Inc. podcast, and then Jack joined and I was like, oh my god. I gotta be top of my game.
It's all WWE augmented reality circa 2021. It's all drones and stuff.
I'm like, maybe I will comb my hair more often before I come on this podcast. Occasionally, right. I'll maybe even wear a hat. You know,
it's flexing with having hair on top of his head. Dope. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if everyone starts talking about, oh my god, Flobo looks so dapper. Just
that never happens. I'm wearing a t-shirt, bro.
You look good. You pull it off.
Well,
you know, and then I'll be like, oh, maybe I gotta shave my head, you know, shaved head and a beard look worked for Walter White.
Yeah. You know? Wait. Worked for me. Well, yeah, I mean, it didn't work out for him, but.
Well, I mean, for a while it did. Yeah. People don't focus. Like if you watch the movie, The Fly, there's that 15 minutes when Jeff Goldblum's on top of the world.
Right.
When Brundle is just like, oh, this feels amazing. If you shut it off, then you'd be like, wow, that fly getting in the transport, that's the best thing that ever happened to this guy.
Hot title run, like Kofi Kingston. Love it.
Yes. Just don't watch the end. It's very depressing. What else is going on in the news?
Well, it looks like WWE is not going to re-sign Drew Gulak. And, well, we talked about the reason why Drew Gulak was pulled off TV a couple weeks ago. And it looks like the reason here officially is that the contract is at its end, not necessarily due to a firing situation. Backstage is a weird, nebulous thing. When he said, she said, we have reports that Drew Gulak was a quote-unquote bully. The talent's backstage. This one definitely was a course of action. And maybe the Ronda Rousey thing wasn't the smoking gun we thought it was.
I mean, it seems like maybe that was a catalyst for something. But yeah, we'll never know the whole story. But those details that came out per Fightful definitely make it seem like beyond Rhonda's allegation of, I guess it was a little bit harassment, a little bit maybe hazing. But beyond that, it seems like, oh yeah, like there may have been some personality issues. So I mean, Triple H did not want to answer that question at the end of that Backlash press conference.
Well, why should he?
He's too busy trying to focus on the positive, and somebody had to hit him with something negative, and he just got derailed, started taking shots at news outlets.
Right.
The man lives to focus on the positive, Flobo.
Okay, if you're going to have a news conference, and yes, you should be open to tough questions, but
I agree.
Drew Gulak, and I'm not knocking the man as a wrestler, but as far as the scope of the event, it seems so left field that it's going to be nothing but negatives. If Triple H goes, you know what? Let's talk about this in detail, you know?
Yeah. I think WWE should make its execs more available to the press. I think they should take more questions from the press. However, I think they need to decide if these post fictional scripted pro wrestling event press conferences that are happening at, or are they happening in these press conferences after scripted kayfabe events, they need to decide, are these extensions of kayfabe or is this the time to ask serious questions?
And you know what? I don't want to, you know, I say what I don't want to do too much. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and do
it.
As someone in the wrestling pundit core, I have about like 10 years in the thing, but I've also seen it evolve. And for a while, everything, when they actually took questions, it had to have been these softball in character questions. And so the fact we're flirting with that is pretty cool. But you look at these press conferences, man, the ones that get invited aren't CBS or ESPN or Fox. It's people like us, the Wrestling Inc. and Fightful. So there is a kind of, I won't say dirt sheet, but a kind of desire to know the truth in kayfabe or outside of kayfabe.
I mean, I agree with that. If this is the only opportunity that people get to ask Triple H a real question, shoot your shot. Go for it. However, you could see the talent isn't quite sure. Like, am I supposed to be in storyline here? Am I answering as me? Am I answering as my character? I just think they got to figure out a way to switch this up and give some real press availability to people that do want to ask the questions. And if they're doing something that's more in character, maybe the kayfabe press conference should happen before, like we're talking off the air. Like, you do the weigh in, you have them out there, you know. And I think that's more interesting too, by the way. I would rather ask a wrestler in character about their upcoming match rather than a match they just had, because they just won the match. Like, as a character, it's like, you know, those are kind of boring answers a lot of the time.
I mean, to be fair, isn't it most of sports journalism on the sidelines? Like, not like the deep dive stuff, but hey, you just won a match. How do you feel? Oh, you just lost. How do you feel? Well, you know, I feel great. But I don't know. As somebody who has an opportunity, who had an opportunity before, who isn't currently doing them now, I think there's a really cool lane to ask questions as if it's a sport. I'm not saying like kayfabe. I do a kayfabe podcast at the very subject, but rather from that line of, hey, look, you won the match. What's next for you? In a way that makes it interesting, instead of being like, how do you feel now?
Yeah. No, I just think that this current format and formula is not quite it yet. And I don't know what the correct answer is. I'm just positing ideas.
You
what
should
else?
Know, Glenn.
I should know. I should have an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People come to this after show for answers.
I think I own like one share of WWE through Robinhood. So therefore, I'm clearly
why,
the person.
Why one? Why
I don't
want
to
vote? Like, why'd you get five? No. I'll take one, please.
I don't know. What else is going on?
Well, let me know from your yacht, how it turns out. well, the whole world is gripped by this. I can't believe we still say the word beef, but this feud between Kendrick Lamar and Drake. In fact, this morning I was listening to MLB Network Radio and having guys in their 50s talking about the situation. Well, Shawn Michaels getting himself involved in the proceedings, offering both Kendrick Lamar and Drizzy invitations to NXT to make sure they handle it like men. Because frankly, why do a song about it where you can use hammerlocks and fisticuffs, my friend?
I mean, and while he's at it, I'm surprised he didn't say, and this year, the presidential debates, why don't we have those at the Performance Center as well?
Did Obama have a match with Hillary one time? Did I make that up? No, it did happen. No, Rod versus Barack or The Rock Obama. That's actually happened.
I remember the weird promos all the candidates submitted in 2008.
Yeah.
And like both Barack and John McCain made a smell what the rock is cooking joke in their promos.
Lord.
And John McCain's was more awkward.
2016 was his own level, but 08 was unhinged because we had like Daddy Yankee throwing his support behind John McCain, which I didn't have my big card at all. But I think there was a match where they had like the local talents dressed up as them. It was just a weird time.
Simpler times indeed. Yes. But no, I think Drake Kendrick, it's interesting. I mean, this feud, everybody's talking about it. What would that even look like in professional wrestling? I mean, maybe you have Drake trying to throw a swerve and resurrecting his wheelchair Jimmy character, Jimmy Brooks from Degrassi, coming out.
Oh, Degrassi reference. I don't know. I think if Drake came out as the character from Degrassi, that's like the 8 Mile scene where he like raps about himself, where Bunny just says, "Yep, I'm lame. Your turn, Clarence." Do you think
Papa Doc in the 8 Mile reality?
Yeah.
Which I've thought about a lot recently. That
of course, it comes up all the time.
Clarence is now teaching at Cranbrook, and he's teaching English.
Yeah.
And maybe he has a young bleach blonde white student who reminds him of one B Rabbit. And he's just, he's thought in his head for the last 20 years, what was that response I should have given that night at the shelter? It like haunts him.
I don't know if this is a Creed reference, even he's Rocky Maivia, or you're saying he's like a Snape in Harry Potter, but him just getting mad at white people for no reason.
No, he 20 just years sees ago, someone occasionally. You know, he just sees somebody and it reminds him. It's very Cobra Kai-esque, really, to be truthful.
Yeah, that's a good one,
too. Yeah, you know, I think Anthony Mackie, you know, he can make this work. He can have time in his schedule. We could shoot this as like an 8-part series for Netflix. We'll call it Cranbrook.
Here's a question for you. Back to the Drake Kendrick Lamar thing.
Yeah.
Would you try to do and have them there? Like, let's say you had an opportunity to have them there. Would you have them train and have a match, or be too late from there? Would you have them pick proxies? Like when Donald Trump took a match against Vince McMahon at WrestleMania, would you have a rap battle in the ring? Like when Rikishi battled the New Day? Like what's going on? Oh, sorry, Rikishi battled Cena and the New Day battled the Usos.
I was thinking more about the New Day and Usos freestyle battle.
Yeah,
good that was.
Well, I mean, X-Ray like Xavier Woods, that's a hot bar.
That was shocking. That had no right to be as good as that was.
Yeah.
I think about that probably once a month. Still. But no, I think you get them on the mic going toe to toe. And you do it in rounds. And you know what? Let's get Mekhi Phifer. And let's get him in there, you know, to mediate this.
Yeah.
You know. Well,
I would prefer that. The last thing you want is like a random jobber in a Drake shirt versus like a local talent in a Kendrick Lamar shirt having
that's it's like a bad indie gimmick way to do this. But no, I think it could be good. I mean, now that being said, you know, Kendrick seems like he's winning on the mic. But I don't know. I think Aubrey's kind of scrappy. He might be able to pull out a win.
See, I you know what? I am not a hip hop what do you call it? Connoisseur, I guess. No, not a connoisseur. Intellectual, I should say. I'm a connoisseur, not intellectual. But Kendrick has nothing to lose. Like Kendrick is at the top of his game, but he's not a household name. He's kind of like, in a way, Carmelo Hayes is right now. Everyone who's seen him loves his stuff. He thinks he's fantastic, but no one's buying a Carmelo Hayes cup as of yet. And then on the other hand, you have someone like Drake, who's like CM Punk, been to the mountaintop, was a symbol of attitude. People said he wasn't good enough, but he's tried and tried again. So like what's going to happen is Kendrick's going to keep pumping these things out and Drake's ego's going to keep having responses until Drake goes, oh, you know what? I'm going to move on and go a different direction. I'm better. And then Kendrick's going to win. I don't know. What are we doing this for? It's been 2 weeks.
It's true. And they aren't respecting enough that Drake started from the bottom.
And now he's here.
Mm-hmm.
Try Toronto.
He was so good on Degrassi. Like, I knew, yeah, oh, he was so good. I knew that kid was a star. Wow. Like, I bought, okay, so get this. He rapped in an episode of Degrassi as Jimmy. And it was a big deal because he was in the wheelchair after the school shooting. And everyone assumed that people were like, oh man, you've been through it. This happened to you on the streets. He was like, this actually happened at Degrassi Community School, but we're not going to get into that. So he had like all this credibility. I was like, oh, Aubrey's rapping under his middle name, Drake. And I PayPal like $10 to his Hotmail address. And then I got a burnt CDR he signed the insert like in ballpoint ink pen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This would have been back like 2007. I've got it in a box somewhere here in my box stacks in the office.
Well, okay. Glenn's hot fact there, man. So are you a Drizzy fan still? Or are you just like, oh man, he was hot when he can't was keep up.
He's put out so many records. Here's the problem. Everyone just puts out so many records. Like I don't got time to keep up with that.
It's true. I feel like Spotify has turned music into content. Like your latest drop, I'll wait. Yeah,
it's just too much. Now, if you want beef, let me tell you about UTFO versus Roxanne Shanté.
All right.
Yeah, and then UTFO did their own diss track
under
the real Roxanne.
We're on SmackDown. We did
that. I know. Now that's beef.
Oh my God.
But no, look, I hope this my worry, it's today getting on a news story, there's shooting outside Drake's residence. Like this might be getting really real. And that's when this is going to get crazy. Cause now the media, everyone's like, oh, a fun spirited dispute in the hip hop world. And then like when you involve actual violence, it's like, oh no. We thought this was professional wrestling. Don't make this real. We've been through that before. It's not good.
I get it. I was kind of weird that Shawn Michaels is saying the invite. I mean, he's not even general manager anymore. I don't know what Shawn Michaels just does.
Wait, he's not general manager. That should have come through Ava. That's your note.
Wait a minute. Isn't it Ava's responsibility to have talent come through? Shawn Michaels, you get that job up, sir. Except to go over your boundaries.
Could you imagine? That would be a good storyline that Ava just starts just inviting people she wants to meet and spend time with to be on NXT. It's like the most, it's like the cast of the Vampire Diaries from CW. It's just like a weird mix of things.
And poor Big Joseph has to put it over. Hey, look, it's J. Cole with Ava.
Yeah.
Wham!
Bill Nye the Science Guy's here because apparently Ava was a big fan growing up. He's going to, you know, do guest commentary on the main event.
Sucky ducky quack quack.
I would pay money to have Booker and Bill Nye the Science Guy call a match.
Oh my goodness, that's an awfully awesome idea.
That would be amazing. But hey, we'll stay tuned to Wrestling Inc. for the latest developments to see if Drake and Kendrick book time to show up on NXT. We're imminently. This is like when Lorne Michaels offered the Beatles $1,200 to reunite on SNL back in like 1979.
Oh, I think I make the Drake reference of SNL. He has a skit called Beef, where like he gets like mad about the most dumbest ingressions. He starts making rap tracks about it, like it's my water bottle. Like it was kind of weird. So there's a scene where Lorne Michaels goes, "Hey Drake, you're doing a good job." He goes, "I'm doing good. That's it. I'm doing great. You know, I mean, it's gonna be awesome. Check it out. It's called Beef."
Also, how is it The Rock cut his greatest wrestling promos on SNL?
The Rock just knew what he wanted to do, man. I really feel like he was like, "Oh man, here's my chance out of here because I had $7. See, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, $7."
Okay, anything else going on in the news?
Well, according to our producers, nothing at all. Let's get to NXT.
Okay, nice. WNBA season started. Everyone's talking about it.
Well, I'm not me because the Nets are terrible and they're sitting at home, so it's fine.
Aces tickets are like going for a lot.
Really, WNBA. Well, WNBA, the Liberty are even more depressing because they're the closest team in New York to get a championship and they choked last season and they lost like 40 points tonight. What's going
I'm dealing with professional women's volleyball in Vegas. The Vegas Thrill is second to last. I was at the home game last night, shut out by Omaha. They're not going to the Final Four.
I got a question. So Vegas has professional women's volleyball and
the Thrill.
The Vegas Thrill or Thrillers?
Thrill.
Okay. I was gonna say the Thrill is like the zombie logo or something like that.
Vegas Thrill. So yes, Vegas has that. Lacrosse, soccer, women's basketball, football, soon to be baseball. We have minor league baseball currently.
Yeah, which is crazy. I think teams used to avoid Vegas because of the whole gambling thing, but now
it's crazy, man. Always something going on. Thinking about going to see a Vegas Lights football game. Or a soccer game. Sorry, football to the English, soccer to the American.
It's soccer here. I don't go to London and say, "Oi, mate, it's a cookie, not a biscuit." It's our word for it here. It's soccer.
Anyhow, let's talk about NXT tonight.
Please, I'm dying here. All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Wesley's back, baby.
Wesley. Love Wesley. Took on Josh Briggs. Guess who won?
The returning talent.
Yeah. Poor Josh Briggs.
Yeah, he's 0 for his last two. What the hell?
I mean, he's better than the other guy.
Wait, which other guy? Ivar?
His former partner.
Oh, Brick Jensen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm lost without you, Josh.
I'd pop if they got back together for like a week.
You're not a fan of Josh Briggs on his own?
I know. I think I like Briggs on his own. I worry about the other dude.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about today because Kiana James got called up. Like that storyline they were all in with Fallon and Kiana and Briggs and Jensen, mm-hmm, and Sebastian, who we never met. That was like prime NXT storytelling.
That's prime pandemic NXT storytelling.
Riveting. Riveting time. But no, Wesley got the win. I mean, look, Wesley is so loved by that audience. Obafemi was North American champion, was watching on during that. Ivar was in the audience. Like, this was just a feel-good moment. Wesley, man, he's going to get that North American title back, I think. Like, you can't put him in the main event scene, but I think that can't put him in there yet. But because Trick's going to hold that. Because Trick's going to hold that for a while. You don't want Wes to lose.
Why not? Why not have Trick be transitional?
Yeah. Wait, really?
I'm not saying he will. I'm just offering debate.
Okay. I mean, I think isn't the word that he's going to be like one of the faces of the show when it goes to the CW?
So I'm concerned. And this is why I have a big concern with wrestlers with fantastic entrance here. Shout out to the original Drew McIntyre with the Shaman's Harvest. Is that past the entrance, the actual matches are shorter and shorter. So I wonder if we'll get bored. You look at someone like LA Knight, he came to the main roster, everybody's singing, and they still did that. But on the IWC, it was, "I'm bored of LA Knight, he ain't the same anymore." And so I wonder about that, if he should be somebody who should always chase the title.
It's like the IWC was here on this podcast with me. It sounded just like them.
Oh, yeah, I was working on that. It's like an accent, you know?
Good that Wesley's back, though. I mean, so, okay, you think main title, not North American title?
Well, you got Wesley, who's according to Vic Joseph, the best North American champion of all time. So you put him back in that division. It makes sense as unfinished business, but it's like, Well, what's your idea with this guy? Is he going to be an also-ran, another guy? Or do you want him to be a bigger star? And I know his age is an issue. His injury history is an issue. His size is an issue. But you have to at least flirt him up there like you did Tony D'Angelo to say, hey, look, you can do it. Or else he'll just be seen as a guy who can't go high.
Tony D's an interesting space. We're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But this is a good match. Wes looks great. Then Shayna Baszler was in action against Carmen Petrovic. What do you think about Shayna getting the win here?
I like it for Shayna, right? Because I think I don't like to use things like, oh man, they fumbled. But I think you and I are of the same age and cognizance. When she went through Elimination Chamber a couple years back, you were like, oh my God, this is a beast. And then for whatever reason, she's been off TV, on TV, tagged with Nia Jax, tagged with Zoe Stark. So you kind of want that reset. I wouldn't mind Shayna Baszler going back to NXT and getting her chops. But having her choke out Carmen last week and beat Carmen pretty handily this week, I wonder, man, is it helpful to have Shayna Baszler back? Like, you want her to win, but you don't want anyone to lose. And this is a weird dynamic here. That's why I felt kind of icky after this one.
Well, it's interesting with Carmen. So they're doing the story with her that she needs to tap into a fierceness, and like Natalya's coaching her. And I get that. I just think that for as much time as Carmen's gotten on TV, and she's got that badass entrance, although it still doesn't make sense. Like, she has the sword, but she can't use the sword. Obviously in wrestling, but why is she out there with the sword? I get the sword is something in judo that she got and she earned, and we're supposed to understand this is proficiency that she has, and the sword is a representation of that. But it's like, look, I still can't get over the way Triple H hits people with a sledgehammer. Has that man ever seen a sledgehammer actually be used before? Because people don't like sit there and like, oh, I'm going to poke you. I'm going to poke something with the end of my sledgehammer. Oh, I'm poking you in the stomach with my sledgehammer. Look how vicious I am with my sledgehammer. Like, I understand it's WWE where weapons and tools don't work the way they do in the regular world. I understand that. But it's a little bit of a disconnect with Carmen, and I can't get over it. But what I'm saying is she needs to start winning matches because she's got badass look.
A lot of things are unpacked. First of all, is that your sledgehammer voice? Or I got my sledgehammer working out. I hit that on the construction site. I'm sure I'm going to hit you with the side of my sledgehammer. Look, I get it. Drew McIntyre had a sword. Use it once on the ring ropes. And Cora Jade had a skateboard. So Ruka had a boogie board last year. Look, it's all... That is Cora a literally gimmick.
Skate to the ring. Cora can skate to the ring, though.
She did not. She did not.
I saw her on that skateboard before.
That is a Mandela effect.
She was never on the skateboard.
She carried it to the ring every time. And I watch every week. And I go, is she going to skate on the skateboard?
They should have HBK backstage saying, look, we just don't have insurance for this.
It was a skateboard watch, I'm telling you. It's a Mandela effect. But what I'm saying is that is a literal gimmick. You have the prop. You go, okay, great. And I think she came at the wrong time. The Women's Breakout Tournament this year had a bunch of people that kind of melded together on both sides. Like, I mean, I don't want to talk about people who got released, but there's some people who were in that tournament that were released. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. But what I'm saying is, if you want to tell me she's a badass, what you do is not see her get tapped out 2 weeks in a row. I mean, you can't recover from that. Give me some
kind of cool. Win. Yeah. She's cool. And I think we should got to get some wins. That's what I'm saying. It's like, if I'm a kid and I see her on TV, like, that's an action figure that I want, you know, her in her Kill Bill inspired gear with the sword. Like, that is just cool. She looks like an assassin. She looks like a superhero, maybe a supervillain. I don't know, but she's got to start getting some wins, or she's got to cut the ring rope with the sword the way Drew McIntyre did.
We got the budget for one of those,
but just use it once. Just use the sword once.
Hey, you know, if you're Metalia though, if you're Metalla, do you walk away? I mean, how many times do you associate with somebody and then you end up taking more losses because of it?
Natalya is very interesting in that losses don't affect Natalya. Like, WWE has never treated it like a loss has ever hurt credit. They still pitch her and put her over with the credibility of the Heart Dungeon, her now multi-decade career. I don't want to use the term elder stateswoman, but as a mentor figure in the women's division, like, they put her over all the time. If they put her win-loss record on screen, you'd be like, wait a second, this doesn't make sense. But she's still credible despite the losses.
Oh, hold on. I feel like I'm Shannon Sharp talking to Skip back in the day. You really think losses don't matter? Was there ever a match Natalya had and you went, oh, she has this one in the bag?
No. This woman survived the worst gimmick given to the female. What's that?
Lana had the worst.
Did you watch Natalia when she had the flatulence gimmick?
That was kind of funny.
Was it?
No, I'm trying to make myself right here.
Okay. Yeah, she had the worst gimmick of the 21st century. Certainly given to every female wrestler. Maybe to any wrestler.
Okay.
It's really bad.
So farting is worse than you going to work and saying, yes, you're going to have a storyline where you're going to cheat on your husband. Like it? Is that?
I think they try and give you the flatulence gimmick and you're like, hey, Matt Morgan had that stutter thing. Can I get that? Can I get that gimmick instead?
Stuttering never gets over. Like dancing.
Yeah, I know, but the flatulence isn't going to get over. Like that, it was awful. It was the worst gimmick ever.
All right.
Look for Wrestling Inc.'s video coming soon of the worst gimmicks ever and Natalya to be at number one.
That was so forgettable. I forgot about it.
And she survived it. Okay. So okay. If she can survive that, wins a lot. This is WWE. Wins and losses don't matter. You want wins and losses to matter? Go to AEW.
WWE. They don't matter. I understand anyone could be anyone, but I'm asking you when you're at a live event or if you're watching a show and someone's in the ring and goes open challenge and Natty comes out, you're like, oh, I'm only waiting to her see her lose.
She pulls the win though every once in a while.
One
out of every six times she gets a win.
That is some terrible odds, man. That is
no chance.
Come on. I like Natalya. I respect the heck of what she does. And I felt this way about Kofi for a long time, too. When he comes out, you're like, okay, well, I'll watch for the art and science of wrestling, but it's not going to be entertaining because you already feel you know how it's going to end before it even starts.
But that's why we're in a King of the Ring, that match that's like Kofi versus Rey Mysterio, because it's like...
It got bumped, so we haven't seen it.
You look at that match, you're like, oh, who's gonna lose this one? And it's not who's gonna win, it's like, well, there's an argument for either of them to lose based on the way they're normally booked, but you don't know, you know,
they don't know, and they bumped it, so it's gonna be a live event this week. So
live, like, event,
are all events live?
yes they are. Anyhow, I think that Natalya still has credibility.
Sure.
Back to my original point,
not disagreeing with there.
Okay, Carmen has been losing. Carmen needs to get some wins. That she kicked that dude in the face. They called her a smoke show.
Wow. Fair enough. Who uses a smoke show anymore, really?
That's so 2021.
Yeah. If I went to the club, I was like, hey, tenderoni. Yeah, please kick me in the face. I deserve every
club. Is it an over 40 club? If you go to an over 40 club and you say, hey, tenderoni, I think, like, hello?
Smoke show? Are we doing that so? What the heck?
I mean, it's more current than tenderoni.
Tenderoni.
Yeah, I would say, hey, honey dip.
Where you going? Where you going? Awful.
Sorry, I'm just thinking through slang from early 90s R&B and hip hop now. It's now I'm going to have Roni stuck in my head. Bobby Brown played that live at the New Edition concert 2 months ago.
Oh, did you go?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. I was third row.
Third row, wow. No,
all six New Edition members. It was great.
I don't think I've ever been that far in a concert in my life. Well, besides ones that were standing room only, but like I haven't been to a seated concert that close.
You know what it was? Pro tip for everyone. If you want tickets to any sporting event or any concert, check the official site, no resale, no StubHub. Check the day of, starting around 11 a.m. Check every hour. The production hold tickets that they don't need anymore, or the guest list tickets that weren't claimed, get released to the public, face value.
Whoa, okay. So?
Yeah. Well, insider knowledge there. Anyhow, Carmen needs a win, and she didn't get tonight against Shayna. But Kalani Jordan and...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Fallon had beef because of the way that Fallon attacking Thea Hale last week. But let's talk about Tyson DuPont and Tyreek Igwe versus the no quarter catcher tonight, Miles Bourne and Charlie Dempsey, with Stax Lorenzo as the ref.
Yeah, I liked it. I really liked it. This reminded me of like the first couple of weeks of Tony D'Angelo when he was like paying off the refs, you know, before he got to the matchup here. So refs unavailable for reasons, bada boom, etc. And the no quarter catcher, to me, every note was hit. They had their problems with the family, and so they took the L. Tyreek and Tyson lost last week in their debut, which almost never happened, to get the win back against a formidable team. To me, it was just pure entertainment. Everybody ends up winning here. Well, people actually lost here.
Yeah, it's interesting with Tony D'Angelo. They're clearly invested in the D'Angelo family. I thought he could have gotten called up to the main roster. I really thought he might be contender. But no, I think for the CW, I think they've decided this is guaranteed good television.
Absolutely.
You know, which is tough though, because it's still, it's a wrestling company. As a wrestler, you want to headline main event WrestleMania, but he's such good TV.
That's always a good problem. Like, let's say you're a talent, and do you really, and you have a job and you're getting a check, and someone goes, hey, look, you could be in the mix with the big money, but you may not be on TV every week, like a Cameron Grimes. Well, that's a bad example. He got released. You know what I'm saying? Or you could be on NXT where you're featured every week, but you're on the CW, or you're on the third show, third slot, a fourth of the audience of the other two brands. Like, which one would you pick? And it may be a smaller problem helping a lot of people here.
Yeah. And, reducing those bumps on the bump card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're getting on TV and not bumping, that's good times.
I think so too. Look, I know it's I won't say offensive, but it's kind of cheesy. But imagine the feuds that the family had with the original Legado and the sit downs mm-hmm. and the yachts and the restaurants. And that sounds pretty cool. I mean, for what it is, even though it is kind of like a, all right, what does Tony actually do? Is he an import export guy? Is he like garbage guy? What's
that? Sanitation, legitimate business, Flobo.
Apparently, yeah.
Legitimate okay. business. No, but this was a good storyline tonight, and it's furthering things between the D'Angelo family and the No Quarter Catch crew. Tyson and Tyreek won that match.
Yeah, he did. Well, they got a high floor. I'm not sure of their ceiling there. I don't know about like the depth chart. Does they just feel like they work into an archetype here? And you think of tag team, there's two in my mind, well, three in my mind. There's OTM based on the physical, their physical attribute, right? They're two beefy black dudes, or brown skin dudes. But like you look at friends that are kind of nerds but love to have a good time. You look at like Axiom and Frazier, and I wonder, like, where do you fit in? They have a very small window to come up with something very unique for them that makes works with their skill set and their personality, or else they'll become an also-ran. And NXT has told us time and time again, if someone from an archetype goes down, there's a lot of people that fill in that slot.
It's weird, right? It's a weird thing about NXT or about professional wrestling in general, especially WWE. But how is OTM going to fare without Scripps?
OTM is nothing without Jada Parker. Like the moment she showed up, it was her group. It was her vibe.
I know.
Like, I don't think they were going to match on their own.
I feel so bad for Scripps.
Talk about writing on the wall. I felt bad for Matteo Dellosella and Jack Farmer when it happened. I texted him. I said, the moment they put Scripps in the ring with Javon Evans, I go, oh no. Oh no, because Javon is bouncy, and I thought it was going to be a swap. Obviously, it wasn't the case, but you know, hopefully, Scripps lands on his feet elsewhere.
Why is it this way with every archetype in WWE, except for blonde women? They're like, no, we can't have enough of those. We need more blonde women.
That is something I cannot speak on. Neither blonde or
no. But isn't that strange though? That I just thought about that, where it was like, oh well, they do tend to look at people based on like a three-word description.
Sure.
2-3 word description. But yeah, it's like blonde women. It's like, no, we always have room for more of those.
If you want my opinion on this, because I'm totally not a scientific thing, I think it's changing. I think we're going to have our like archetypes of physical in limbo. Like Kalani Jordan, one of my favorites on NXT.
Yeah.
It's no coincidence she got more time when Sol Ruka went down with her injury.
That's true.
Both limber and long and lanky, I guess, for lack of a better word. But I do remember the 90s and 2000s where it was like, hey, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah, and I want to make it clear, I'm not taking anything away from anyone's accomplishment, regardless of what their archetype is. No, it's just interesting. But it is also confusing in some ways, because we've talked about this before. The strength of the women's division is they understand how to be more toyetic. In their presentation, even with different hair colors and with changing it up. So it is challenging sometimes, you know, when you have those matches where it's not as easy, because to the average person watching TV, you know, if they're like, oh, I like so-and-so, I don't know her name, you know, the blonde one.
Right.
Like, yes, that is not that does not narrow down the description. Necessary.
Absolutely. The definition of generic is unfortunately getting wider and wider every day.
Yeah.
And Triple H said it on Monday Night Raw, WWE is on fire right now. So they're okay with that. But you're right. There's going to come a time where you have the PC and it works for everyone, but there's not enough styles of different experiences that go in different regions and everyone looks kind of the same, or they have a certain kind of look. It may look like central casting, which is good for your brand.
Yeah.
You can swap people out, but as far as individual merch sales or individual fandoms, it might be a little difficult.
Well, and they do this a lot, by the way. Let me give you a great example of this. Heavy Machinery back in the day, and with Otis and Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
Were not on the same brand as the Viking Raiders.
True.
Because we got two teams with two beefy white dudes. Let's split them up. They do this a lot. Start watching this with Raw and SmackDown and realize there's like alternate universe, not gimmicks, but types between Raw and SmackDown. They do this all the time.
Absolutely.
You know? But that being said, I do think Carmen Petrovic stands out. This is where the sword helps. Which one do I like? The one with the sword.
Right.
Sol Ruka stands out. I mean, you watch her and you watch her finisher move. So I like the surfer girl. This is where having a clearly defined gimmick helps you more in terms of just getting over and saying like who you are.
And this is what if you're the next one up, you're talking about the Jasmine Nexus, you're talking about the Izzy Dames. They have that same problem that Tyreek and Tyson do, where they have to come up with something that is their skateboard or surfboard or something like that.
Isn't that weird that it's like you get one prop to define your character? That was like a Tough Enough challenge once. You get one prop to define your character.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the headphone guy. I don't know.
That didn't really work that well for TJ. Aww. I mean, it kind of did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Max Caster did it.
That's true. It's interesting. It's interesting getting into this. I would love to talk to a writer or someone in creative currently or formerly at WWE and just get confirmed or deny if it's really this bad as it seems from the outside.
Why would they do that for you?
I don't know.
Dark alley.
I've gotten DMs before where I've speculated, so they're like, oh yeah. Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, like you have no idea.
I usually get cease and or desist, but that's cool, man.
But speaking of which, this worked tonight. Chelsea Green and Ariana Grace backstage, delightful.
Yeah, I get it. But Gigi Dolan has had it. What does that mean?
We need the payoff of Gigi Dolan showing up looking like a 1940s USO woman selling war bonds. We need that payoff.
Lacey Evans?
Oh, God.
Her NXT gimmick, was her best one. It was the best one. Like, I loved it.
Funny that I just described that. You know, Lacey Evans. Because I was trying to think of, like, what's the most old-timey, hokey gimmick we could get?
That was best gimmick. That whole Marine stuff was weird. Her being a bombshell, the women's right makes a lot more sense.
Yes. But no, we need that payoff. Gigi Dolan has to give in to the makeover before she's like, I've had enough.
Okay, you're right, but I hate the story. I really do.
I know, but it's TV.
Okay, I mean, everyone tells me Ariana Grace has nailed it, and I think she has. But Gigi Dolan, to me, is such a curious case, because I felt like a year and a half ago when it was Toxic Attraction, she was number one up. And of course, Mandy's on the roster. She got replaced by Tiffany Stratton, if you think about the archetype thing. And JC Jane really broke out on her own. So I'm like, for months, DG had no direction. She loses a match that had no stipulation of being under Ariana Grace's wing. And she does it anyway. And I go, why would she even agree to that? Like, what was the thing beforehand?
And let me tell you more how they screwed this up. They made her a massive baby face, like talking about like personal trauma and history and connecting with the audience. And then like they just nerfed it like a week or two later.
Yeah. Oh, Alicia A in the chat. Okay. Yes. Georgina.
Georgina. Mm-hmm. We need a payoff for Georgina.
She did Dolene.
Do you think, I mean, it's interesting. It'll be interesting if Gigi gets called up to the main roster. I guarantee she's not going to be on the show Becky Lynch is, because why? Archetypes.
Oh, yeah.
They think about this. People flipping channels, you know? Yeah.
Well, Chelsea Green wear the hat still? Because like, they have similar hats.
That's true. And why when Gigi was a baby face, was she still coming out in the like Hell's Favorite with the Rose and looking like she's in a Motley Crue video circa 1988.
Because Shotzi was in the main roster.
Oh, okay. Okay. We're going to solve everything, Flobo. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
I'm solving a dang thing tonight. Nope.
Okay. Ariana Grace versus Mia Yim. Meechan getting the win. About time.
Sure. I like it. What I didn't like, and we'll probably, I'm skipping ahead, is that Ava referred to her as in the OC still. The OC should be dead. It is not dead, but Meechan gets to win here.
Gals and Anderson were on the show tonight.
They should be Gals and Anderson, not or even the Good Brothers, not the OC's the Good Brothers.
Yes, it's weird. Rich Holland told Thea Hale she reminds him of his daughter.
Oh, yeah, riveting television. That's what I want to hear.
This was so weird.
Look, all right. I correct what I said. This is the worst thing in wrestling right now. It's just this ballad of Rich Holland where I'm supposed to feel for this guy because of things he's done in the past. In real life, fine, not his fault. It's an accident. But in the story, him taking matches, him getting beat up, but then him choking out Joaquin Wilde backstage, I don't know who to root for. And he's right. He is totally a liability wherever he goes, and I'm not going to buy any merch in-universe because of this. It's like, oh, man, he has bad luck. Well, I hope he tries hard. That girl, my daughter. What? Come on,
by the Rich. Way, Rich Holland is 35 years old. Thea Hale is 20 years old.
Ew. Well,
he started young.
I guess what I'm saying. Look, I want to root for everyone on my TV screen. I try to take the real-life stuff out of it. But Ridge Holland has like basically wandered from left to right in a inverse Joe Gacy where it's like, Lee Joe Gacy's unhinged and funny.
The inverse Joe Gacy.
Yeah, he's just unhinged. Like, he's a menace. He didn't retire for a weekend. What's going on?
Do you think Ridge saw Jack Perry come out with that scapegoat gimmick and was like, darn, why didn't I think of that?
That's my gimmick, mate. Oh, God.
No, this isn't... Look, accidents happen in wrestling. I'm not personally blaming Ridge.
Don't try this.
It was weird how they leaned heavily on accidents that he was involved in that injured other people. Us and other people were like, oh, don't use that in a storyline. And then it was, oh, no, accidents that affected me that I was on the receiving end of. It's amazing how much TV time he's getting. Like, he's been a constant presence and it's not getting over. And I don't feel like they have a clear through. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this ends in the most spectacular fashion possible.
Right. And I know in NXT, heels and faces are fluid, but I'm not sure. And this is a real problem. I'm not sure if I should be rooting for Rich Holland to have some good luck and come over this or hoping he gets his comeuppance for causing damage. And that's huge because he's like, well, he's interacting backstage with Chase Hewitt. I'm like, well, I mean, Riley Osborne does sound kind of right. Yeah. But yeah. Is that supposed to be the case? I don't know.
Yeah. And it's weird Andre Chase hasn't faced more consequences for the gambling thing.
I like Chase U. I think they're really cool. But yeah. I was telling this to Jack Farmer on Tax Wash, and I was like, this is reminding me of like the Seth Rollins as a savior thing during the pandemic, where it's just a lot of it. Like I've had enough cake, Chase. If you're not gonna break up, this needs to be separated. Have them go on a run, have them wear black uniforms. Something needs to change because nothing's really grown from them.
Well, we never got the full JC Jane takeover, even though she saved the universe. Like they've done they've gone 60% through with everything with Chase U. Like there's been so many seeds of classic storylines. Oh, JC Jane saved Chase U. Now she's got Chase takeover. It's going to be Chase U. What conflict's going to happen? Is everyone going to, start wearing like black leather is going to become the school outfit. Like there's something that could be there. Andre Chase busted gambling on his own students' matches. Is Ava going to ban him like a Pete Rose? He'll never get into the WWE Hall of Fame. Like they could do something really meta and fun with that storyline. Like he can't be there at ringside. And then we see somebody like with like a fake mustache and sunglasses in the audience. And it's Andre Chase. He's been banned from ringside, but he's there, okay. You know? Yeah. I mean, they could do so much, but they like get us 60% of the way there and then just change gears.
Yep. Calendars.
Yeah. And Thea like likes a boy and maybe that's going to be a thing, or JC and Thea even now it's kind of cool. And I know this is blurring the lines in kayfabe. It's cool that Thea broke JC's nose. I hope JC's okay. I know she had surgery, but that level of viciousness in Thea Hale, like that should have been Thea's moment. It should have, I know they had the multi-woman match at Takeover, but I feel like Thea should be a shoo-in for at least the finals of the North American Championship. And maybe she is. She came in second in the women's combine. Behind Sol Ruka. That should be the finals.
Sure. I'm with it. Like, again, I think you're saying something, like, you're basically saying what I'm saying in that something has to change.
Yeah.
I like Chase U as a thing, but, like, the next chapter has to come now because we can't be doing this with Rich Holland and Riley. Are they together? Are they not? One.
Yeah.
Is Chase going to wrestle or is he just going to be a manager? Two. Rich Holland, stop telling people you're our daughters, man. That's creepy. I mean, it's Tuesday night, man.
It's just strange.
Yeah, man.
But no, see it through NXT, see one of these storylines through to its conclusion and then tell another storyline. Stop getting bored with the story mid telling it. Like this is, and again, NXT is my favorite show on TV, not just my favorite wrestling show, my favorite show on television because it's a variety show. And what I'm telling you is this is very bad WWE where it's like, we got bored halfway through the story as we were telling it and shifted gears. Like, bring some of this stuff to a conclusion, then jump onto the next chapter.
And now we're demanding stuff. It's been high time NXT needs an opening sequence. I don't know. I just was jumping.
No, I like when they were doing the recaps. Remember those couple weeks where at the beginning where it was like previously on Melrose Place? Yeah, like
that's not what I mean. I mean, I want a package with matches and people go into the cameras and I want a theme song, a legit theme song. Give me some of that.
Okay. Okay. It's not good. Well, we got the Supernova sessions tonight and, Lash and Trick, they got a secret.
Trick Willy Wonka. Oh, yeah.
There's some joke about saying Candyman three times, and I don't know. anyhow.
We're a family show.
Yes. This is good. This harkens back to Noam Dar's past a little bit, like his jealousy issues, because he has had a feud over a woman before. And I like that he's jealous of this, and this is the pretext for Noam Dar versus Trick Williams for the NXT championship.
Love it. I think it's a perfect challenge for both Noam, because he's in that Heritage Cup division forever, and Trick Williams having a level one boss in Noam Dar. But the envelope mystery wasn't much of a mystery, and I know that ship has sailed, but how cool would it be if Trick Williams took Lash Legend out to be his valet at WrestleMania? That would have been awesome.
I agree. Well, I think we're going to be seeing more of them together, and I liked Alicia, though, saying, yeah, the reveal of the envelope was such a letdown. I do like the interaction between Lash and Trick, though. They're fun together, and I like Noam Dar knocking Trick out That was a good build. This is going to be fun. I mean, maybe this pays off at Battleground. Maybe they keep it going till then.
What could have been in the envelope to make it a bombshell, right? Like, what could it have been?
I don't know. I mean, like, there's dumb things you could say. There's inappropriate things you could say, but like in storyline, that so the idea was that what was in there was a picture of Trick pinning Noam Dar, and Noam saying, "That's right, because you did this is why you got to go on and win the NXT championship." Like, it was weird logic.
Yeah, because one of those photos that on .com, like it was the actual pin. It wasn't like Big Show and Royal Rumble 2000 where it was an alternate angle. It was the actual whatever.
It would have been funnier if they would open the envelope and it was just a picture of Noam Dar giving the middle finger. Like,
hello. Hear me now. Just two middle fingers up.
Yeah, something. Yes, baby is a second person who attacked Trick when Melo did. I don't know.
That would be kind of funny, actually. Who the hell is that? It's Rich Holland. I'm so sorry. I'm unlucky. I am so unlucky. Hey, your daughters look like my daughters. What?
I have a lot of children from many different women. It's lonely on the road.
Oh, man. Poor guy. Not really.
The Rich Holland thing is so... But you're right, though. It is, the Rich Holland thing is bordering on self-parody now.
Yeah, it is awful.
You know? Next week, I was 7 years old when I realized that I was going to die one day. And since then, I've been very depressed. I had a very bleak childhood contemplating my own mortality. And now here I am at 35. I'm realistically at the halfway point unless science makes some huge achievements.
And your kids look like my kids.
Backstage watching people eat, that meal might be low in carbohydrates, but it's very high in sodium. Do you know what that does to the human heart?
They just say that to play music.
I'm Ridge Holland and I'm a sad bastard. You're eating quinoa. I was eating quinoa the night before I injured someone else in the ring. Oh wait, that's too insensitive. I was eating quinoa the night before I was injured in the ring.
Ava, he should fight J. Cole.
Yeah. Anyhow, Supernova Sessions was fun. That theme song slaps.
Yeah.
This was great. We went right into this from backstage. Natalya telling Carmen to be more vicious. Dude said smoke show. She kicked him in the face. Natalya approved. Kalani Jordan versus Fallon Henley. And heel Fallon got the win. I wonder how her parents' bar is doing.
There is no bar. It became a ranch. I've been trying to figure this out for months. I was like, what's going on with this? She had a bar and then she made Tiffany work at a ranch and now she's an illegal rancher because why?
Is that why she snapped? She's like, I had the worst ranch hand ever.
Yeah, apparently that Rich Holland bad luck is spreading. But what I don't understand is she hit the hill and now she's a bad girl thing. I'm going to focus on me. But why?
I worked on a ranch once. I was 8 years old. They had me put down the sick and ailing cows. The cows would look me in the eye as if they knew what was coming. But silently, they were thanking me for putting an end to their suffering. I'm Ridge Holland, and I'm the saddest person in all of professional wrestling.
Rich, get out of here. No, I don't understand the heel. Okay, I get it. Like, everyone can't be a face. But Fallon turning heel was the most random thing ever. It's like, I hate your hair. Bam. And then she goes, ha-ha. I'm a bad girl now. But why? Okay. But you're still
her
in the same
song
spot
is Aces, though. Her theme song's great.
It's actually one of the better ones. And I'm not sure.
It is pretty good.
It's good. I just don't understand what the end game was. Was anyone holding her down? was anyone not giving her opportunity? She was on TV every week. She had it made.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's wrestling.
Come on, Glenn.
I know.
Logic.
I know. What about Duke Hudson versus Alexis King?
You know, this is interesting because 4 months ago or 5 months ago, when Alexis King came, I thought, oh my gosh, this guy is already, he's like pre-made.
He's got
a little beard. And he was in the main event scene, but he was off the screen for so long. He was kind of cooled off. And so this felt like a re-debut, like an injury situation. And Duke Hudson's a guy I don't think has won a match one-on-one for a long time. So much like Natalya, I go, okay, is Alexis King getting his comeuppance or Alexis King getting beating up Duke Hudson?
I mean, Alexis King, I think they can push him anytime they want into the championship scene, North American Championship, random feud. I like Thea Hale screaming at him. Thea's a lot of fun, man. Thea should be, but here's the thing: when Thea becomes NXT North American Women's Champion, like she needs to graduate from Chase U a little bit, because I think that it's taking away from her unique star power when you're always seeing her with the group. Like, I'm a fan of her getting more TV time, but she needs to become her own woman.
I'm with that. And it's, again, that window's closing because you have archetypes, right? Brinley Reese also doing the energetic Spitfire thing. And Thea Hale is the same size as Roxanne Perez, who's also doing her own thing. So I do think she's really leaning into what she was doing before on Level Up, the whole Greek-American thing. But you're right. I think the problem is Chase U is they know those guys can't go much further separate, but you can't keep them together that they can keep them together.
Yeah. Oh, Melissa Villaseñor. That's who Brinley Reese sounds like. Melissa Villaseñor from SNL. I love Brinley Reese's voice.
Wow, that is a very deep cut.
I was like, whose voice does Brinley Reese remind me of? Like, yeah. I like Brinley Reese a lot. I think with Brinley Reese, originally, maybe I this didn't exist, but I saw like a shade that she was doing a parody of like fitness influencers.
A little bit.
And I thought that was brilliant. Maybe because I'm someone that works in influencer marketing. And I was like, they're speaking to me. Like, I get this. I understand this.
Can you get me followers, man?
Well, I work in the ad side. Like,
you're killing me, Glenn. Okay.
I get pitched those services all the time, though. But
I think that was the case. I think it was like she was doing the whole Simon Dean thing. But if you think of her like clapping your hands, going, yay, and being positive, it's like that's 1.0 Thea Hale before she even got the Chase U stuff.
But then Thea discovered study aids and went off the rails. Oh, we need a very special episode.
Scared.
That would be great for Chase U.
Oh no.
Taking caffeine pills. She's
no one would get it but us old guys. No one would get it but us.
No, energy drink abuse is a serious problem.
I know. I'm a part of that problem. But I'm just saying it's a very like very, very 90s sitcom.
But with Chase U, they should be doing this stuff, but do it now before she's champ. They're going to be so bummed they didn't do this stuff when she's champion. Because, I mean, Chase U for a while, and it hurts me to say this, Flobo, Chase U was as good of TV as the D'Angelo family. It was a pillar.
That was way better. That was way better.
Depending on the week. But again, now they're abandoning storylines left and right.
Is it really a school? It's like when
is it really a school?
Tribal chief. We never see the tribe. Like, whatever. Like, what do you guys?
We saw the family tree.
Well, now, yeah, but I tell East all the time. Does Roman go to cookouts? Does he do appearances? Does he do taxes? Like, what does he achieve up? It's the Chase U. They have one classroom. They have no gym. Like, what? This is the worst school ever.
Yeah, you know, it's a magnet school. It's
okay, fair enough.
Yeah, like one of those free range academies for kids where they just let them play outside for half the day. You know, go hear some clay, go learn something, create. But no, I think that this was good. Lexus King did a good job. He could just do it. He could just turn on the shtick, man. Like something about that guy is instantly just hateable and it's lovely.
Do you wonder about what that does for Sean Spears' prospects in NXT, having Lexus King so being able to be heat up whenever he wants to?
I mean, you know, no disrespect to Sean Spears, but it's pretty clear that whole player coach thing that Cody predicted for AEW is happening in NXT. He's producing segments, he's working with the students. Like, I think Sean's there, but it's actually kind of remarkable that they're not pushing him harder on TV, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting. We heard from and then Ridge Holland came out and looked at Alexis King and said, "I bleached my hair once. Worst decision of my life. Used too much sun, and every time I went outside, my hair turned color." I was very depressed.
It was pretty sad.
Ridge Holland's a very sad man. Very depressed.
How does he survive?
How does he survive? Jasmine Nix gave an update on JC Jane. She's recovering from the broken nose.
Jasmine Nix, fan? Not a fan? Wait and see.
I haven't seen enough yet. We'll get there.
Will we?
I think so. I think with JC maybe taking a couple weeks off.
Okay.
I think JC and Thea, I think they should run it back at a PLE and have a proper blow off to the feud conclusion. It is weird though. I'm thinking about this now. Like now I can't unstick myself
about
how Chase U has been. Ridge is like, I had a storyline once. They just kept changing it. Now I'm telling people they remind me of my daughter. Yeah. I have sons. It's very odd. I can't even relate.
I went to a takeover, but they changed the name. I didn't have a match because it's Battleground. It's like, shut up, Ridge. Get over yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the main event. Roxanne Perez versus Chelsea Green. AI on Twitter recapped this match before it happened and said Chelsea Green won. Before NXT even started tonight.
Chelsea Green should have won.
I mean, I respect Roxanne Perez. I get that they're very invested in her. I think she's improved a lot with her gravitas as a character. And I think she's good in the ring, but I need stakes to these storylines.
I'm glad you think so.
You're into it? That.
No. Roxanne Perez is definitely filling a role. Okay. Her heel turn was, the fact that Cora Jade went down was kind of a big thing.
Archetypes.
And so I guess her theme song's cool and people said she's approved of the mic. That's great. But like this match, if this match were to happen in GM mode on 2K, Triple H would pull you aside and go, you have two heels on your main event. You don't do that. So I have this match where I'm like, man, I hope something happens. Like a face comes out and breaks this up so I can say, wow, it's fun. But no, if you get a clean matchup between Chelsea Green and Roxanne Perez. Okay.
It was weird. But Chelsea and Roxanne are equally over with the audience. Not talking about roles, not talking about babyface or heel. They are equally loved and disliked by the audience. Maybe the inverse of the two. The amount of people that love Chelsea or the amount of people that dislike Roxanne, even though she's a heel, and vice versa.
So you're saying there's so much of heel, it becomes a face versus face. It's not full circle.
Chelsea's gimmick is a heel, but it's not like, she ran over a dog, you know, and like, she's a bad person. It's not that kind of heel. Not like she's...
that dog had it coming. It did. No, I got it. So random though. That's your marker for being a wrestling heel. It's like over dogs. Jeez.
I don't know, but I'm saying she doesn't do traditional heel s.
Okay, but okay. You know? I guess what I'm saying is, if let's say Chelsea Green would have won this match, of course it didn't happen. But if Chelsea Green won the match, would you be more excited or less excited?
I would have been excited for Chelsea Green NXT Women's Championship. That would have been an amazing reset button to hit.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Sorry, Piper. We're going on a solo run.
But with her, with Ariana Grace, like riding shotgun, like that would be amazing. I want to watch that NXT for the summer.
Yeah. Would you swap them? Would you swap out Piper and Niven for Ariana Grace for a tag team run?
Oh, man. It's too good. Like, and I like Piper, but Piper could be more vicious. Piper should be running singles matches, wrestling like she did in NXT UK.
Well, there's a lot of people that can fit that description, but fortunately.
I know. It's really weird, though, that they've, like, I mean, Doudrop's second worst gimmick that a woman had after Natty and the Flatjones thing.
I disagree because you couldn't even describe what Doudrop was. Was she like a motivational speaker? Was she energetic? Was she an athletic trainer? Like, I don't know what it was. It was like, you're Doudrop. Okay.
It was bad.
It was a bench slate. It was like, all right.
It was bad. It was just bad on many levels. Sure. And it just didn't do her any favors, I don't think. But she persevered. And I think that's worthwhile. It means something. But no, I think this match went on about as long as it needed to. Roxanne won. It was very predictable. Who's going to face Roxanne next for that championship?
Well, it's kind of interesting because most of the women's division was in that combine, right?
So I know we've got a lot of North American champion level women right now.
Yeah, but the only person that was still hanging out who has some heat is Lola Vice, but that's another antagonist. It's another heel. Not sure how that would play then. Or Shayna Baszler, who's all Shayna... they're all heels.
Okay. This is a NXT. Physicality thing, okay?
Oh.
This is like Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. Like, I want to see them tell the story of how Roxanne beat Shayna Baszler, but on paper, on the visual of that, given the Shayna Baszler's actual MMA career, like, you're going to really have to sell me on that story in the ring.
That's why I think it's going to be Lola. It's going to be Lola. She had the match against the legend. She could say, I'm an unstoppable force, and have her be the protagonist that way. And Roxanne being like, don't take me off my mountain. I'm Roxanne Perez. I've earned my keep. But to me, as a person who likes clear faces and heels, it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah, it's tough. Tatum Paxley, who's in the North American Championship Tournament, I think Tatum could turn babyface based on the crowd was reacting to her in that triple threat.
Sure. I mean, it's unhinged. So unhinged stuff tends to get a pop.
I like Tatum. I want Tatum to win that match.
Win the North American title or the NXT title?
I wanted her to win the main title on that triple threat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair
I thought that would have been fun.
Hot take. Hot takes.
It's TV. It's not sports. It's TV.
All right, pal.
In the parking lot, the D'Angelo family kidnapped Damon Kemp as we went off the air. But before that, Noam Dar and the Metaphor had a confrontation with Javon Evans.
Bouncy.
Yes. He's great. He seemed more natural tonight than he does when he gives a promo.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
I think his gimmick is like, yeah, man, just be somebody in your 20s.
There we go.
Julia Floyd off the top rope.
Roxanne's keeping that belt warm for Julia.
Interesting. Now, I don't hate it. I think it makes sense, but they got to be very careful about Julia in NXT.
And it's gonna be Asuka all over again. It's gonna be Shayna all over again.
No. I am worried. And I granted, this was a different time period. It might be a Sarai situation, if you know what I mean. Remember her? Sarai? Sari?
Oh, I thought you said Saraya for a second. I was like,
well, she was Sarai or Sarai.
But... Yeah. Okay. Wow. Do you think it's gonna go that?
I'm just saying if you're not careful with it, because okay. I think those characters, right? The ones that are just like badasses, you have to give them a character that is an NXT skin. And that has been one of the biggest weak spots. If someone's coming in with a badass streak and saying, how do you fit in? That's like an ask by Sean Spears earlier, right? So I wonder if you bring in Julia and say, just be Julia, will that work in the NXT universe with a Tony D'Angelo over here and an evil rancher over there? That's what I'm saying.
The evil ranchers.
Mm-hmm. Baby Ice disagrees. Okay. Sari was being an NXT 2.0. Okay.
Bye. Oh, that's true. Although that gave us Chase U and Tony D'Angelo.
When did 2.0 stop being 2.0? Is it 3.0 now? Or is it still...
It's kind of the same. By the way, why didn't you... Like, where's my payoff on Cross and Black and Gold Never Dies with the Final Testament?
Are you really looking for a payoff with a Karrion Kross story?
For that Black and Gold Never Dies angle, that is a great build to a PLE of Black and Gold versus 2.0.
I'd rather have Rich Holland tell that story. Well, you see what happened. I had the story in my hand and I lost it. Oops, I dropped it.
Okay, Flobo, this was good. We got to do this again.
Heck yeah, man. I'm going to miss you Friday, right? Are you going to be here Friday?
Yeah, I'm traveling. I got things.
Well, that means I have to lead SmackDown, which is always a train wreck because I'm not a guy who runs the controls well. But it's going to be a good time on Friday night SmackDown for Wrestling Inc. and their shows. And of course, you got Dynamite on Wednesday. So it's going to be a good time all week. But I'm going to miss you, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be back here before you know it. Okay, everybody, have a great rest of your week. Flobo's at Flobo Boys. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Catch you back here next time. Please like, share, subscribe, click that bell notification, and we'll catch you back here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.